Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we ask ourselves if it's worth the fight.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, folks. And I hope you do. Today on the conversation, folks, people brought this up, and from what I know, Brett Kavanaugh was Trump's first Supreme Court nominee pick. He was the second choice the last time around. But how did all these protesters have signed Stop Kavanaugh like instantly right after he was selected? I want to get into that. GOP interns through the White House were denied service from an Uber driver, more than likely from the same type of people that would be ballistic and outraged because a Christian baker would not make a gay customer a cake. That's the irony. That's what we try to get at, folks. I also, on the conversation tonight, I want to get into Governor Andrew Cuomo. They're already, at this pick comes in, Roe v. This guy's instantly going to get rid of Roe v. Wade. It's gone. No more. The parents are no longer going to be able to be separated from the kids. You know, it's amazing how, we can't separate parents from kids, but now they want to. How they switch sides, I guess illegal border jumpers being separated, parents and kids, that's okay. When you find out that half of them are not the parents, they're human trafficking. Doesn't matter. But when it comes to a kid being separated from the parents through a coat hanger and abortion, that's fine. Mass exodus from churches as the percentage of young adults with no religious affiliation has nearly quadrupled since 1986. I want to get into that because that's huge. I want to get into that. So I'll say that might be my first topic. We'll see. Oh, wow. I want to get into also the World Cup and much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. As Peter 1:3-12 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to those to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day today and evening or whenever you're listening to the program, and welcome. I want to get into this because there's talk about how I was reading on this on a couple websites and different things and InfoWars and stuff about how I think since 1986, the number of people that don't have a religious affiliation has quadrupled. But I think the people who have a religious affiliation are more outspoken about it. I mean, when I grew up, when I was a kid, unless you listen to, like, Southern Gospel, unless you listen to, like Bill Gaither and stuff like that, and Adam Lowry and some of those guys, there wasn't the third days. There wasn't a lot of, Danny Doki, you know, Nicole Britt, Christopher Rice, hip, cool Christian music that you could get into as a as an average teen.
There was Carmen, there was Ray Bolt.
Well, I guess I don't. I mean, I guess.
Listening to the Dead. I was listening to Christian music.
Well, so were they, so are those artists like Danny Doki would be today? For
it's
like
better
a,
than Danny Doki.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, Danny Doki is. But like, see, but I don't ever remember. See, but I guess maybe I'm in a different area, but I don't remember people listening. I don't remember like a Third Day or a lot of mainstream, because a lot of these artists are pretty mainstream. They're Christian, but I mean, you can.
Back in the day, a Christian was a Christian. You knew that they sung Christian. You could listen to them and tell a difference than rock and roll or country or whatever music. You couldn't go to a Dead show and say, hey, is this a Christian group or no?
Well,
you would know what kind of a group you were listening to.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, like, when you go see Third Day, you know they're a Christian group. If you go see Danny Goki, you know he's Christian.
What I mean is, Third Day, you turn off the words, listen to the music, it could be a rock song.
But the words are what make the music.
Right.
So why would you turn the word? I mean, I don't.
I'm just saying there was a difference back in the day. Now there's not that much of a difference.
So, like, I guess if you took the music you grew up with and took away all the lyrics, you would still know the Praising Jesus?
I would say more so.
I'm gonna do a YouTube video on that. We're gonna go around to kids and we're gonna ask them. But I can see your point though, because they probably. But you know, I guess they're. I guess like if you take a look at like.
Okay, a Third Day song, a Mercy Me, let's see, Danny Goki, I can turn on to 95.3, the station here, and you couldn't tell that it was a Christian song unless you turned it up and just listened to the words. And you, I mean, it could be a rock song.
But I guess that's, but the words are what I want to hear, because that's where the meaning is.
You're not getting my point.
I guess I am. I guess what you're trying to say is okay if it was instrumental music.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is the music today, those groups I mentioned, the Third Day, whatever,
yeah, okay,
could be, if it wasn't for their name or if it wasn't for them saying Christian, if you just listen to their music, you could almost think that it's just regular rock and roll music. You wouldn't know it was Christian. Except where they say Jesus once in a while.
But I guess I couldn't listen to, with if you had no lyric attached to it, how I couldn't.
Oh my God, never mind. I'm done. Move on. Or I'll go upstairs.
Never. I guess you don't get my point, though.
Yes, I do. You're not getting time. Like I said, move on.
Well, I don't understand. We'll talk about it later because I don't. It doesn't make, you don't make, I don't understand what you're trying to get, but I guess what I'm trying to say is when I grew up, now there's more groups out there that are like Britney Spears kind of music, but it's, they're religious that kids can look up to.
They say they're religious. That doesn't mean they are.
Well, I guess that would, well, yeah, same thing with gospel music. They say they're religious, doesn't mean they are. You know, I mean, I know people that don't go to church that are more Christian in their actions than people that go to church. So, I mean, that's, I guess, what I'm trying to get at with this whole thing is, I feel like when, now, I'm more likely, in my opinion, to walk up to someone or have someone walk up to me that's going to be like, Christian to me in terms of like, hey, have you heard of the gospel? Than in back, at least where I live, back in the day. I guess there's, I see more people that I grew up with that I never knew they were Christian. I never knew half the kids I went to high school with went to church. They never, now you have kids bringing Bibles to school and they're told you can't bring it to school. I never saw a kid I went to school with bringing Bibles. I never saw that. You know? But like one of my exes, her husband, one of my exes, her dad was someone that he hated new churches. He wanted to hear the traditional hymnal. He wanted that big 75,000.
Watch it. He has a mother-in-law like
that. Oh, I know. I'm not saying anything against it. See my producer here thinks that I'm bashing gospel music. I love it. I don't know why she thinks I'm bashing it. I'm just saying, one of my exes, her husband, her dad, didn't like, he thinks like Third Day is like Saint to him. That's not, to praise God, you have to have a pipe organ, you have to have, you know, what he grew up with. And that's how he was. And when the churches he went to would go away from that style of the traditional hymnals, the traditional pipe organ stuff, he would leave the church and find another one. And we each have our own. We each have something, because I guess a lot of people, the average kid today, that's why, like, if you talk to, like, Reginald Visu of the band Korn and head of Korn, they said they stayed with the band because they felt it was a, because how many people that go to a Korn concert are probably saved Christians? They have a better chance at reaching more people and saving more people and getting more, hey, you want to know how many drugs I've done? I've probably drank more beers in 1 year than you have if you lived to be 100 years old. I've done more heroin, crack, cocaine. I found Jesus. If I can do it, you can. And I think it's great that they think, you know, that's, I like that philosophy. That's why it's hard for me to see that, you know, when K-Love is expanding and Christian radio stations are expanding by leaps and bounds. I mean, you go to Michigan, there's like 10 Christian radio stations. That's why it's hard for me to see that it's that people that don't associate, unless they're, it's more of a younger demographic. I don't know. Because, I mean, as long as you're praising God, I love the music. I guess I grew up with the music of a Catholic church, and that music always resonates with me. And I will, yeah, I found that those songs on YouTube, and there's times when no one saw them, I'll put that on YouTube, and I'll be singing, and I'll be getting down. Because that's what I grew up with. That's the type of music I grew up with when I was younger. You know? And I guess it's one of those things. I mean, you're going to have the generation like me that grew up on, like, the gospel and Christian and Catholic-style pipe organ music, and then you're going to have, because now a lot of churches, when you go, they play Third Day and different things. So, I don't know. I see churches and more getting bigger. So, I don't know. To each his own. You know, some people. So, I really didn't get into the demographics. But, you know. I mean, there's nothing. I don't know. Just to each his own, I guess, you know, because to me, like, I just love it once, like, now that I found out that I can find some of my favorite Catholic songs, you know, like with the pipe organ and stuff on the YouTube, I'll put them on every once in a while because it's what I grew up with, you know, and it's just like the America my wife and I grew up with. We see it going down. We don't want it to go down. And that's what gets people like me and my wife when we're not the ones harassing people. You go, oh, they're going to tell me that I have to bake a cake for a gay couple? They're going to go ballistic, but GOP interns were denied service from Uber driver because of a Make America Great hat? And those people are probably the exact same people that would be like, How dare they refuse service to that gay couple that wants to have a wedding cake made? It's amazing, you know, we're the ones that are the racial bigots and hate people, but we're the ones that would not, like, if I saw someone with a Obama shirt, get in my Uber, I don't care. I'm not going to turn them down. But who knows? The different America, you know? We're intolerant except for of our own belief, you know? And that's what I hate. This country is that way. You know? The left is tolerant. They say they're tolerant except if you don't believe what they believe. But that's how this cookie crumbles. I mean, I don't know. Bless you. But me and this guy it's amazing. I love YouTube. I love YouTube. I love Facebook, because, like, when you find somebody, because me and the guy start talking, because there's a comment, he goes, well, this is all fine and dandy if they don't agree with Brett Kavanaugh as a Supreme Court nominee, but how did these people get these Stop Kavanaugh signs so fast already, you know? And I'm like, well, more than likely, there's a lot of people that think that Brett Kavanaugh was his second choice. My wife is allergic to the BS, so she's sneezing. The liberal BS, that is. But I think Brett Kavanaugh was his second choice the first time around for the Supreme Court nominee. And since he didn't take him that time, he was going to take him this time. And what's wrong with having a Supreme Court nominee, Melissa, that actually wants to uphold the law and not rewrite the law? I don't either. I don't get it. You know, because you have, I mean, but the problem you have, I think, is you had a crap ton of people out there that said Trump could have brought to the Supreme Court as a nominee someone that was a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's basically very, very socialist left, and they would still be, like, against the pick. What Trump needs to do is just start saying everything that liberals would expect him not to say, like do all this leftist stuff and see if they flip sides. I'm against guns. We need to ban guns. I just want to hear a liberal support gun control or be against, crap, what do we do now? Trump wants to ban guns. I thought we were, I guess we got to support him now. Yeah, I just want to see liberals supporting guns. That's what I want to see. It's like that thing I put on social media. It was a post where I had, like, sweet oxygen. Oh, beautiful, sweet oxygen. It has liberals with plastic bags over their head. And that's the problem. Like, remember when Comey, when the Democrats wanted Comey fired because he was investigating Obama, and then as soon as he was investigating Trump, we need to keep the SOB. We need to keep that some bitch. Wait a minute here. And then when that late night talk show host was like, yeah, Trump fired Comey, and the crowd's cheering, and they didn't realize that the liberal agenda had switched to, now we wanted him kept. See, I don't switch my sides much. I don't. You know, that's why I liked Trump, because I'm not going to agree with everything he said. Second of all, he's been saying the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, this is going back to the 80s. He said the same things. But isn't it interesting how 99% of the people on the right, when they're harassed by the left, they're like, go ahead, I don't care. And See, that's what the left hates. The left is getting mad that when they're doing all this destructive damage, when they're taking a GOP place and they're throwing rocks at the windows and damaging it, we're not fighting back. I mean, we're doing it constructively. We're not sitting there. We're not, because they're trying to make us look like a lunatic. They're trying to, like, oh, let's, like those people that they found out later were being paid to go to Trump rallies to try to incite, you know, these Trump's people to get them on video and make them look bad. And they couldn't do it. They don't know. They're losing their mind. They don't know what to do because, oh, well, this Russian investing, oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. And there are people now posting, I was old enough to be around when Russia was her enemy. And I commented to this lady and said, yeah, I remember. I'm old enough to remember when Hillary Clinton sold 20% of our uranium to Russia. And, of course, oh, that never happened. That's not true. That's a lie, whatever. I said, that's the problem with you liberals. Obama could kill someone, and, oh, that's, yeah, that's not real. He didn't do that, whatever. Trump's a Nazi, whatever. They can't say anything constructive back because they have no answer. Hey, what do you stand for as a liberal? What do you stand for? Because position. Because in 93, you were all about building the wall. Even Obama said, hey, we have to build a wall. We have to stop immigrants coming into this country. You have people that are crossing this border. Oh, look at all these parents being separated from their kids. Well, look into it. A lot of the people being separated from their parents' kids, they're not their parents. They are trafficking kids. First of all, I apologize to anyone if you can show me where the majority of these kids in Texas are being separated from their parents are law-abiding citizens that are United States citizens, that have lived here their whole life, never been to Mexico, have done everything by the books. They've not broken one law, and cops are just separating them for no reason whatsoever. If you can show me where the majority of them, like 50, like 75% or more, are that. Oh, we got to help these kids. Well, yeah, build the wall. Help them. What? I'm supposed to help a kid that crosses the border illegally? If they wouldn't cross the border illegally, guess what? I wouldn't have to deal with them. They wouldn't be separated from the person they came with.
Now, I will warn you.
Just a second. My wife, the producer, wants to say something.
Well, no, I want to show you something. I will warn you. It is Photoshop, but it's beyond funny.
Oh, wow. My producer, she came in and showed me. Oh, she's great. I mean, it's a picture of Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters in red dresses, and it says Trump 2020. Yeah, it's great. But as we go forward in this, you have the New York governor signs a reproductive rights executive order ahead of Trump's Supreme Court pick. Because, you know, this Supreme Court that he picked, he's going to get rid of the, he's not going to allow you to kill, he's not going to allow you to separate the parents from their kids anymore. You know, oh, I thought you were for, I just want to go to one of these, I stand with Planned Parenthood, you know, one of these, like, we have the right to, and I'll say, wow, I thought you guys were against separating women from their children. I bet you were against that. Now you're for it. But, of course, kids being separated from their parents in the United States you know, that's because of drugs, that's because of some other reason that they had to be separated, you know, and that they're in the foster care system. But people coming here illegally, that's, you know, that's a law's problem. You know, it's Trump's fault because these kids illegally are illegally trafficked or border jump here illegally. And it's our problem, and we're the bigot because we don't want to deal with something that wouldn't be an issue if they didn't try to come over to this country. I'm starting a campaign called Make Mexico Great. Let's make their country great so that they want to stay there. What about that? How about that one?
I'm a new today. I was at a client's house. The news they were watching. Person on vacation got shot after a year of marriage in Mexico. And they're talking about how dangerous Mexico is. I go, yep, they want us to their people over here. But yet there's a murder every 15 seconds over there. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The irony they don't get.
Yeah, they don't. They never will. And that's the sad thing about this. We're about coming together. How can you be? Oh, you're heartless. No, I'm about law. You know, we are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. I just want to, for the record, I'm quoting Bill Clinton just so that there's no confusion. So I don't want to have someone, I just want to let you know that I'm quoting Bill Clinton, that we're a nation of laws, but we're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. These illegals that cross the border cost taxpayers millions of dollars. We need to build a wall or do something. You know, that's something Bill Clinton said. But what you also don't realize, too, is they've already passed an executive order stating that until this, you know, parents are not being separated from their children or can't be until they get this law separated out. This all goes back to when Hillary Clinton was going off about Trump because, well, he didn't pay taxes. Well, yeah, because I'm using legal loopholes that allow me to pay as little taxes as possible. The same loopholes you use, Hillary Clinton. If you're bitching because I paid very little taxes because of loopholes you use, how long have you been in Congress? Why didn't you close those loopholes? You don't close those loopholes because it's the same thing you and all your politician buddies do to get out of paying as little taxes as possible. What you do is you set up a charity organization that you donate money to, and that money goes into your charity. And there you go, it's a tax write-off. And then you take that money from that charity that's yours, and you use it for buying whatever the heck you want anyways. You basically launder the money into a fake charity so you can use it as a tax write-off so you don't have to pay the government, and then you can take that money and spend it on vacations, cars, whatever the heck you want. That's what these politicians do. And they've had all this time to pass this legislation to stop these loopholes. They've had all this time to pass these laws to stop this separation of children and these people crossing the border illegally. They've had all this time. Oh, but they have to wait till a Democrat is out of office and the Republicans in there, and then, bang. I guarantee you, if Hillary Clinton became president, no one would be talking one iota about these separating kids. They wouldn't do it because they're never going to do anything to make a Democrat look bad ever. They don't. I want to have a media that's going to say, hey, I thought Trump was going to tank, but look at the economy's doing good. It could do better, and it can improve more, but he's going in the right direction. Until I see the media that's honest and truthful, and sad that you have to listen to like 25 news agencies on. I mean, but that's what we have to do. That's what I have to do for my conversation, okay? Let me see here. This Rick Cuomo, you know, this reproductive rights executive order. I've got to look it up on four networks or five news agencies. Okay, it's on NBC, it's on ABC, it's on InfoWars, it's on Jed Report, it's on Fox. So I know it's real. Now I have to try to figure out through all this what the truth is about it. What's right about it, what's wrong about it, what's good about it, what's bad about it. You know, if you had networks being honest and saying, hey, you know, Obamacare sounds great, but guess what? You're not going to be able to keep your doctor. Premiums are going to go through the roof. It technically is a tax. If they were honest, I could say, hey. Then I could say, well, what's the bad about Obamacare? What's the good about it? There's so much, I mean, these conversations... on my break, I'm looking up stuff and what, you know, I mean, it kind of goes back to when, you know, Billy Joel died. What? And it's on Facebook, so you have to look it up and is it real? Is it not? And then half the times it's a hoax. Was Vanna White killed in a car crash? Huh? These are just made up stories, but then you have to go look it up. And the first, because I remember one time I was with Tammy and I was crying. I heard Willie Nelson died and it was a hoax. And that address was like one dot off from being NBC.com. It was like NBC.com or something. And unless you looked at it very carefully, you would have no clue that it was not the real NBC website. But, it takes a lot of research. It's just one of those. Issues that I wish we had one, you know, it's just, but it's the double standard that goes on in this world where they can't, you know, you can't have, you know, we can't have a media that's like, hey, good, better, and different. Hey, I didn't want him, but look at what he's doing for this country. As you've probably heard by now, the entire Thai soccer team has been rescued and freed from the cave. And I guess they had to put them in like some sort of like, a body bag kind of thing with like an oxygen mask and stuff. And then then the scuba divers swam them through. Wow. Incredible. I mean, if... We want to make sure our thoughts and prayers go out to the diver who lost his life, but that's just wow. I mean, that Navy, they're incredible. That was incredible. I mean, I don't know if I could do that. I did. I don't know if I could do it anymore, but if you've ever been caving and then spelunking where there's like a very, like, no room on any side, there's like an inch on each side of you, and if you do it wrong, you can get stuck and crawling, and next thing you know, you get in this little cavern, and it's like, oh, wow, that's neat. Okay, that was about a 45, 50-minute crawl. Okay, now you got to go back. Okay. If I would have known that, I don't know if I would have crawled for 45 minutes to an hour. But you can't think about, okay, what if this, like, rock just collapses on me, because I'm... You know, you just can't think about, but so one of those things. I don't know if you heard, but Stormy Daniels, whatever her name is, the porn. Yeah, she was arrested. Of course, it's politically motivated. You know, she can't get arrested legitimately. You know.
I said she set it up. Get her name back out there.
Yeah.
It's a setup, okay? She set it up.
Yep, she set it up to get her name out there because, you know.
You hadn't heard about her for a while.
Nope. She's got to get publicity out there because she's that one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
she's that one that probably, unless you're in that industry, you probably never heard of her. And then when she got found out about, you know, when she said, well, I did it. Me and Trump had our thing, you know, when that all happened, she had her 2 minutes of fame. And then when it basically was flushed down the toilet and, you know, it went nowhere, she's like, I got to get my name out there. I mean, she reminds me of those, like, one-hit wonders, like that Mambo Number 5 guy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no one ever heard of me, or that I'm still alive. You know, it's my version of the song. But anyways, you know, whatever happened to that dude? He had that one song, Mambo Number 5. After that, you never heard from him again. You know, that's how she is. Like, I got to get my name. I got arrested. It was politically motivated. See, if I wouldn't have been Stormy Daniels dancing in the club doing what I did. Now, this is what the media won't tell you is Trump is actually, when he's going around the world doing what he's doing, he's actually apologizing for Obama and all the people on the left and the crap they did. And the fact that, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, we don't stand with Iran. We stand with Israel. We stand with you. We stand with countries that want freedom and peace. You know, we're not Obama. You know, the celebrities and all this stuff, that every time we go traveling around the world, I have to apologize for Obama. And I bet you half the people they apologize to, if they actually do it, they're probably like, okay, what's wrong with Trump? He's great. And the countries that, and the people that probably don't think Trump is great are probably countries that hate America.
Did you heard what Trump said about Germany, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they basically are like, we are paid to help them defend against Russia, but yet they made a deal with Russia with that gas line between Russia and Germany that they're getting for free. They're getting their energy for free from Russia, but and we're paying to, and we want to be, and they want us to pay, and want us to take care of them against Russia. Okay, that's rare.
Yep. Oh, wow. It's one of those issues that, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, because... Yep. Yep-er. Germany hates us because, see, Germany is not Nazis anymore, and Trump's a Nazi, so that's why they hate us. I mean, that's the liberal explanation. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of, folks, and I hope you do, and I hope you see through the hypocrisy of what's going on in this world, and you know, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't give a toot. You know, I mean, I guess I'm one of those people, and I want to get into this because I can. It's my program, and I guess when I was, and I've said this a lot on my program, but when I remember when I was told that, like, one joint is equivalent to, like, a carton of unfiltered cigarettes, I'm like, I was always taught, do your homework. Do your, you know, like, and I did my research, and I'm like, wait a minute, pharmaceutical companies manufactured this and this and that and all these things. I'm like, so, okay. Wait a minute here. The more I looked into it, because the older people will understand. We didn't have, okay, my parents, I think, still have somewhere an encyclopedia. You ever heard of Wikipedia? Like the website where you can look up stuff? They used to have a thing called World Book Encyclopedia and Britannica Encyclopedia, where it was like you got books that had information so you could look up and do research. Sort of like you do now on the internet. You know, encyclopedias are, like, obsolete beyond. Long story made short, I did research, and I'm like, there's a DB. I mean, I couldn't. It wasn't audio. It was just written. There was a thing called Hemp for Victory, where they tried to get under the table farmers to go hemp for the war effort. And the more I looked into it, I'm like, well, if cannabis is the safest therapeutic drug known to man, pound for pound, it produces more ethanol than any other substance on this planet. The seed makes a very healthy oil, all these things. And it contradicts everything the government's telling me. I question everything the government tells me, period. And that's what I've, you know, and that's what I've come to do in my life. I question the government. And being the medical cannabis supporter I am, and finding out in 2010 that, wait a minute, there's a guy that's been getting it federally from the government, Irvin Rosenfeld, since 1982, 300 rolled cigarettes. I think what's happening here with the cannabis is something that will make sense to my conversation in general. If the government comes out and says, yeah, there was a guy who studied it under Bill Clinton's administration who said, why is this stuff even illegal? And they shut him up. You know, if they were to come out and say, hey, we've known for years and years and years and years, you know, over a century, that cannabis cures cancer and it can kill cancer cells and it can help, you know, possibly with Alzheimer's, and it can do all this stuff, and they've lied to us all this time, then what else have they lied to us about? What else have they not been honest about? What else have they, how can we, if they can't be honest about how the danger of cannabis not being dangerous at all, and it was basically a ploy to make it illegal because it was associated with Mexicans coming into this country, and since they couldn't keep alcohol banned, and they had to do something, so what do? I can't get money to fight alcohol prohibition when it's not illegal anymore. Let's make this illegal, and then I can get money to fight it. And when they find out that all this stuff is a big sham, then how are we going to, okay, so how are we going to trust anything the government says? And of course, for the most part, it would be, well, what did all the Republicans lie to us about? Because Democrats never lie. So it's only the Republicans that would have been lying to us all this time. You know, I mean, all these issues that have happened in this country all this time, and it's one man's fault. So it's like, okay, so it's almost like, well, for the last 40 years, all this stuff has happened. Oh, we got to blame Trump for everything, even though he wasn't in office. It's heresy. It is. It's like, okay, well, $100 trillion in debt. It's Trump. Trump did it all. Trump, you know, it's like, you know, Trump wants to spend money. How dare he? But Obama, oh yeah, we're gonna have a stimulus package. It's gonna be $500 billion. We're just gonna give money away to people. Don't worry. Well, whatever. Who cares? So, you know, it's the bull crap of the whole situation. You know, just think about it like this: We're not out. I might walk by a Hillary Clinton, you know, election office and laugh my ass off and go in there and say, do you seriously support her? See, I'm standing with the United States. I'm not standing with her. You know, I'm not standing with a candidate. I'm standing with the United States of America. And that's how this world is. And I think that's one of the big things is if they finally have to admit that they lied about cannabis, then what else have they lied about? And that's what is going on. But yeah. And that's one of the big issues we had, because like I'm in a huge conservative state. Being very conservative, you know, that's, you know, we finally had a guy that's come out and said, hey, you know what? In every state where they legalized it, opioid abuse is down. It's down. It's going down. And that's what I praise Colorado. Because I think they're the Achilles heel that started the re-legalization of it in this world. When you first look at Colorado, when they legalized it, okay, teen use in both states, Washington State and Colorado, is down. Like I've talked before. Okay, I call it the painting syndrome. I guarantee you, and I would love to do this, get two paintings that are not that look cool but are not of value. That, you know, and put one and one that says, please have a look, touch, feel. I guarantee you, if you do research, I bet you $1 million, the one that says do not touch gets 150 million times more fingerprints on it than the one that says touch all you want. They've done an actual study on this, and they talked about it on K-Love, where it was in Europe, where they started a thing where companies are giving you unlimited vacation, unlimited time off. And they're saying that the vacation people are taking is going down. Like, before they had unlimited vacation, they were taking, no. And this is actually going on in the U.S., where they're allowing, they didn't say if you get it paid. So you might be able to take 2 6-month vacations, but you ain't going to get a dime. So you're going to work. So you're going to get a whole year of vacation with no pay. They didn't say if you get paid or not, but they said that in these companies in the U.S. that have started doing this unlimited time off, the time off that people are taking is less than when they were given only like 2 weeks. When they were given only 2 weeks of time off, they tried to get way more, and they tried to, oh, I need this off, I need that off, and that off. But when they were given unlimited time off, the amount that they asked for was down. You know, and that's what's going on with cannabis. Since as soon as you legalize it, teen use is going to go up. Well, no, it's kind of like, now that you can smoke pot, it's not seen as cool. Oh, wow, anyone, I can smoke pot? Yeah, you're going to have those people that are going to be like that guy that gets like 10 bottles of vodka and drinks it 10 bottles every single solitary day, and he's a massive alcoholic. I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are the exception to the rule. They're going to smoke 55 million joints every single solitary day. They're going to have some vaporizer thing with a gas mask that's just going to vaporize pot and just blow the smoke into a gas mask, and they're going to have like a 15 pounds on their back, and they're just going to leave that thing on all day. And, you know, I'm sure there's someone going to, but the majority of people in these states where they've legalized it, the violence has not gone up. Usage is going down amongst teens. Accidents behind the wheel are going down. It's the exact opposite of everything they said was going to happen. And all these other states are saying, look at how the revenue is. Look at this. And I see that happening, and I see it. And then, okay, well, look at what's happening to them. It's positive in their state. It's a great thing that they did this. And I think that's what's going to be the Achilles heel. And I hope it stays in that type of mentality where it's not like, I never want to get to the point where it's a pharmaceutical company gets in, okay, here's your three types of pot, good luck. You know, I hope it gets to the point where there is a dispensaries where you can't, okay, well, yeah, we have a cigarette roller, and give us 30 minutes. What we do is you take whatever you want. Like if you need something for nausea, here's some Girl Scout cookies. We can roll 1, 2, 3, 4 joints, whatever, and then we freeze dry it so that it maintains its freshness and everything, like they do for Irvin and those other people, and there you go. And you have many varieties. Okay, you have multiple sclerosis. These varieties are best for it. You know, and I hope that it stays amongst a community of people that support it and know what's best, and it's not some, like, tobacco company kind of thing taking it over. Okay, folks. Yeah, but, you know, that's one thing I want to, and that's one thing I would do if it ever gets legal here. I want to have a dispensary with, like, a guy that does acupuncture, someone that does massage, so that it's a whole wellness thing. So it's not just like go get your weed, okay? There'll be like a steam room where you can go and you can do. Of course, my wife's making fun of me, my aspirations and my dreams. Just kidding. Just a little bit. But, you know, sort of like Harborside, you know, where you can go and you can, you know, like twice a week, they'll have someone that comes in that does chiropractic work and a guy that does acupuncture and have someone that does massages. And, you know, that way it's more than that. So maybe someday that will come true, but that's what I love to do. But the problem is even if it becomes legal, then, okay, there's all kinds of federal crap with it since it's not federally legal and all that, and banking and all that crap. To the Premier League, and if you haven't heard by now, France and Croatia in the World Cup, and Paul Pogba, Manchester United has a good chance, a real good chance of being a World Cup champion coming back to United. And I mean, there's talk about, as you all know, Real Madrid lost a great, 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 great player in Cristiano Ronaldo. He's gone to Juventus, and I think we're in talks with Bale. I think we can possibly get him. I honestly think that we can get Bale. I really think it's a doable option. I think we can get him. And maybe, I would love to be able to say, hey, maybe we can get like a Milinkovic, Savage, and a Bale, and they can reprogram Fellaini and get him to be able to play the short ball with the long, I mean, like use the long ball in the extreme cases that you actually would benefit from it, but I don't know. I don't think he's fixable, but you wonder, okay, now that they've kept playing, would a Bale snub a United because they've kept a Fellaini with a Milinkovic Savage? Maybe they think that, okay, well, I'm going to get in at United because once I'm there, okay, unless they dominate next year, Mourinho's gone, so hey. We'll have to see. I don't know. I think we have a good chance of getting Milinkovic Savage or Ronaldo. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be, the World Cup is going to be, I can't wait. It's going to be, it reminds me of the time when Zidane was in the World Cup, and the guy came up to him and said, because if you don't know, Zidane's parents are black, and the guy made a racial comment about him, and he headbutted him and was thrown out. And it just seems like yesterday some of that stuff, and now it's like 10 years old plus, and it's hard to believe over 10 years old. But you know, it's just, this has been an amazing World Cup. It's going to be interesting because, like, literally they go right from the World Cup to the International Cup where they're doing, like, the U.S. Tour, and right from there into the Premier League. I haven't decided if I'm going to do fantasy this year or not. I don't know. That takes a lot to do, and but I don't know. I've done it in the past, but I don't, not every year. I'm not one of those like super snobby people that like play it every single solitary year. Because I had a friend that did fantasy baseball back when you mailed stuff in, and I mean that dude, if he baseball knowledge like stocks and bonds, he'd be a billionaire. So. It's just one of those things that, you know, so I don't know, but so, I mean, like I always joke about my buddy, you know, like, who played third base for Pittsburgh in 1960? Don Ho did, but, you know, I mean, he's that, he can tell you, okay, well, if you go back to the 1976 World Series game three, fourth inning, he could tell you who's in the, I mean, but it's like, man, if you had that, turn that knowledge with stocks and bonds, you'd be rich. But, you know, so I don't know if I'm going to do it. It takes a lot to do it. But then, you know, it's fun for me. So if I'm in last place, I'm in last place. I'm in first. Don't matter. It's all about fun. But, you know, I'm just, I honestly think if this is a do or die. I think if Fellaini and United and Jose Mourinho do not deliver, he's gone. I mean, I could see, honestly, if they're not dominating the league, that they, I could see Mourinho being taken out and trying to find someone mid-season. I could honestly see that. We've been way too long from a title. We've never gone this long without a title in our club's history. But, you know, so I could honestly see if come Christmas break, if we're not dominant, if we're not, like, at least fighting for first place, I could see them saying, I don't know. You know, I think you need to go to PSG there, Mourinho, and take Fellaini with you. But who knows? I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program that I hope you feel a part of. And I do. I hope you feel a part of it. And I hope you guys have a great week. And I hope that you take what I say and run with it. And say, hey, you know, well, let me look up this cannabis. Let's see. Let me make up my own mind. Let me read an article. And let me make up my own mind. Let me see what I think about this or what I think about, you know. Let's see, you know. If you disagree, do something. I mean, I don't know how breaking windows in a GOP office is making America great since you disagree with Trump. You know, if that's what you call productive or making things better, I don't know. I don't know how anything. You know, it's like. I want to quick get into this because really quickly, I don't know how, okay, let's flip cars over and catch them on fire because our team won the NBA final championship game or the World Cup. I don't understand how that's, you know, celebration, but that's just me. But just remember, folks, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until next Tuesday. Goodbye, and God bless. Goodbye.